the model marriage. Would anyone be bold enough to say, look at me, I'm living it.
I'm living it.
I know we're trying at my home, but you won't find the model marriage in my home. But you will find it in God's Word. The Bible, all of it, is spiritual food for God's children. Sometime last year, I chose to preach through Ephesians, understanding that this landmine was there waiting for me. But I chose to preach through Ephesians because it offers a balanced diet for believers. So today, I'm going back to finish what I started. Now, we understand that some passages, they're smooth and they just go down like applesauce. And other ones, they're tougher than a $2 steak. So I want to give you a warning about Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. If you don't chew on it, you might choke on it. So, there are three ways to prevent choking. Number one, don't eat at all. Try that. I'm going to go out there today and skip lunch and skip dinner and skip all your meals this week. Come back, tell me how that worked for you. Probably not a good strategy, right? Same thing with the scriptures. You don't want to just say, now and then there's something really perplexing or challenging in the Bible. Well, forget about it. I'm not going to read it at all. No, this is God's Word. It's God's food for us as children. You got to eat this daily. Well, the other way you could prevent choking would be to don't eat certain foods. Just avoid certain foods that you know are tougher to chew on. Now, that could work for you. But I personally wouldn't want to spend my life drinking smoothies. So, same thing here in the scriptures. All of it is for our benefit. All of it provides a balanced diet for believers. The best thing we can do in faith is to say to the Lord, I'm going to chew on each passage because you know best. Father, you know best. And so the third way to prevent choking is this, just chew, chew, chew. And I hope we would take that approach when we sit down to lunch today. I hope we'll take that approach as well when we sit down to God's Word. So first of all, there's an instruction here to all wives. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now the choking hazard here is the word submit, and it means what it says. To submit means to go under the authority of another. But understand that before verse 22 is verse 21, which says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's something we ought to be doing, all Christians in the church, is submitting to one another. Submitting to others as they use their gifts, as they use their talents, others as they lead, others as they serve. We have to submit to one another. Now, to submit does mean to go under authority. And every single one of us, male and female, we understand this concept. We all have to go under the authority of others. When it comes to being out in society, we are all under the authority of the laws of Canada and under the authority of law enforcement. When you step on a boat or a plane or a train, some form of mass transportation, you're under the authority of the captain or the pilot. Step off of that, you're no longer under the authority of the captain or the pilot. But step onto that means of mass transportation and you are. We enter into these situations where we know that somebody else is in charge and we have to submit to their authority. Well, it says here, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So in Christ, and all of us as believers, we are one body, one family in Christ. We have to submit to one another out of reverence for Him. After all, it was Jesus who lived and died under His Father's authority. When people came to Him and questioned Him, what are you doing? He said, I'm simply doing what the Father tells me to do. I'm submitting to His authority. Amen. Then, having submitted to the Father's authority all the way to death, the Lord found Him obedient, raised Him to life, and we read in the Scriptures that He gave Him all authority. In fact, we can read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. It says here of Jesus that after He was raised, God placed all things under His feet. Jesus is over all. He placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church. Do you understand that what Jesus is doing is ruling the entire world, the entire universe, for the benefit of His church? He's making it so that everything which is under His authority works for the good of you and I, of those who love God. And so we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, because we understand that it is Christ who gives authority to one and to the other. You see, in the church, Christ, our head, grants authority to us. First of all, as a congregation, he grants authority to us all to decide on what to do and to do it. Everybody here has a voice, and if you're a member, you have a vote as well. He gives us that authority. And then to some in the church, he gives authority to preach, to teach, and to lead. And so we move in this passage, and verse 21 is like a bridge. It's moving us from the church sphere to the home. And well, we go to home, and there's got to be leadership in the home, right? Someone has to lead. And the scripture says that someone is the husband. It says here in verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church." And so, some people argue against that and say, well, that's just the way it was back then. But Paul is writing this to us and presenting us with it as the way it is. He's going to talk later on about Adam being formed first. And he's going to refer to the account in Genesis. It's the way it is, Paul is teaching, not simply the way it was. It's like this. I love pie. Who else loves pie out there? Oh, yeah. You know what a pie plate's for. And the scripture is saying, well, we know what marriage is for. It's saying we know that marriage is to be a picture of Christ and the church. That's what it's for. Now, a pie plate, what is it for? It's for pie. And most pies have a bottom crust. Well, all of them do, right? Most have a top crust as well. But you can do a lot of different things in that pie plate, right? You can put all sorts of different fillings in there. Particularly, I don't really like pumpkin pie, you know? If you served it to me, I would do my best to enjoy it. Probably with a beverage nearby to help me, you know, swallow it on down. Put apple filling or blueberry or something like that. Oh yeah, now I'm in my glory. But you can do a lot of things inside that pie plate. And there's a lot of freedom to the Christian couple to use your own gifts and personalities and experiences and background, abilities, talents, all those things, and to make it your own. But understand that it's all got to fit within that pie plate. And the Lord says, now this is the structure. That the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Because in marriage, he's doing something that goes beyond all of our thoughts, all of our hopes, all of our dreams. So someone has to lead in the home, and that someone is the husband. And if he isn't the only leader, then he's at least the primary one. And if he isn't the primary one, then he ought to be. That's what the scripture is saying. Men need to rise up and be what they ought to be, which is the spiritual leaders of their homes. Now notice this. There are some qualifiers here. Verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. We see in verse 24, it says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. But I want you to know this, that no wife is required to follow her husband into sin. You understand what it says here, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Wives, you know that Jesus wouldn't lead you into sin. Right? In the same way, if your husband was trying to lead you into sin, you have the right to say no, because you both are under the authority of Christ. We all submit to Christ's authority. We all follow his lead. We do this as Christ is the head. It says here that Christ is the head of the church, which is his body, of which he is the Savior. We do this because God has said this is what marriage is. Ultimately, it is a picture of Christ and his church. And the world needs to see that Jesus is Lord. And so we act that out in the church by submitting to one another and all of us submitting to Christ's authority. But that's also acted out in the Christian home so that the world will also see through the marriage of the husband and the wife that Jesus is Lord. Now, something that I think will also help you chew on this and get it down more easily is to understand that this is a translation and that there are different ranges of meaning to something like the word submit. Also, to understand that in the original Greek, there were no headings. So we have a break here in my New International Version. We have verse 21, which says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then, boom, we got a break. It says, now wives and husbands. And it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So we have submit, break, submit, and things are going okay. But understand that there's a more of a flow in the passage here. In the original Greek, there's no headings, no chapters, no verses, no punctuation, not even spaces. Because they would write on these little parchments, and they'd try to jam in as many words as they could. So now the people who are getting it and reading the letter are going, okay, now I've got to figure out where this word ends and the next one begins and all the rest. And so the flow of this, if you were to translate it as literally as possible, would be like this. If you back up to verse 18, Paul is writing to the church and saying to every one of them, be filled with the Spirit. Now, what does that look like? Well, it looks like this. Verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives to your own husbands. Now, do you hear the flow there? Instead of chop, 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 submit, heading, submit, up, there's a flow to it. And then this verse 21 acts like a bridge from one part to the next. Now, the main command is be filled with the Spirit. And he's saying, this is what it looks like to be Spirit-filled in the church. And then he's continuing to say, now this is what it looks like to be Spirit-filled in the home. It looks like the husband lovingly leading his wife, and the wife willingly and happily following. Understand, when the scripture here talks about submission, it is not the husband's to command. It's not his to command, but it's hers to offer. She submits willingly to her own husband and to only him. And we need to understand, as husbands and wives, what we are not to do with this passage or with this book as a whole is to take it and go back. Now this is what you have to be doing. Or, look, see? No. Especially with something like this, we have to be very patient. We have to be very sensitive. We have to do our thing. As a husband, I have to do my thing, which is to love my wife just as Christ loved the church. I know that she knows her thing. And I'm not going to remind her about it. Of course, I'm standing up here and my wife is listening, but I'm not preaching this just for her. You need to do your part and trust and pray that the other will obey Scripture, will obey the Lord, that the Lord will move your spouse's heart to do the right thing. And husbands, what we need to do is lead our wives. Lead her so lovingly that following Jesus and following your leadership seems like the only sensible thing to do. That's the way when we step back and look at who we are as Christians and we look at the church, the only sensible thing for us to do is to obey Jesus. He's the head of the church. And now it says here, the scriptures say that the husband is the head of the wife, the head of the home. But we need to do this as lovingly, as winsomely as possible. So that she'll look around and say, well, I wouldn't want to do anything other than follow this godly man's lead, which leads to verses 25 through 33. Now we'll see that at home, the harder assignment belongs to the husband. And there are some wives going, yeah, right. Do you know how many jobs I have to do at home? There are other wives going, I'd like to see him bear children. Well, I can tell you this, without a doubt, for at least 3 days in our marriage, my wife had the harder job delivering those three babies. But spiritually speaking, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Whoa, that's huge. Now we know the wife is called upon to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. But do we as a church submit perfectly to Christ? No, we don't. We're still working on that one. But does Christ love us perfectly? Yes. Did he give his life completely? Yes. Look at the standard. And also, if you just want to go based on verse count, this whole passage, like a sandwich, right? There's some instructions to the wife, and then at the end it says the wife must respect her husband. Okay, those are the two little pieces of bread, but in between there's all this meat that the husband's got to chew on, things he's got to do. You've got to love your wife like Christ. Love the church like Christ, who decided to give his life away and then went and did it. You know, Jesus was up there in heaven and said, yeah, Father, I'll go down there. Conceived in a virgin, born of a virgin, born in a stable. Had to work hard with his hands in the carpenter's shop. He lived a tough life. He was known as a peasant, really. There were times when he went without a meal, went without a roof over his head. And ultimately, all of that suffering was leading to the cross, where he'd lay down his life for you and for me. That's what Jesus did. He decided to do it, then he went and did it, and he did it perfectly. And so husbands, you can't be standing back and saying, well, look at this. It says here first, the wife has to submit to the husband. So when she starts doing that, then I'll start doing my thing. Nope. It's not if she does this, then I'll do that. It's because he's done this, I'll do that. Jesus has done this. He's given up his life for each and every one of us. That's why we want to love our wives as Christ loved the church. This is a self-sacrificing love. And it's not something that happens moment by moment, but it's something that is once and for all. When Jesus made that decision to step out of heaven and to be born of a virgin, the decision was made once and for all. And husbands, today is the day to make the decision, if you haven't already. I'm going to do this for my wife. I'm going to do this for her good and for God's glory. There was a couple who, they're in the church, they knew the Bible really well, and they came to this pastor with problems in the marriage, and the pastor was trying to get to the root of it, and so he begins talking with the husband, and the husband says, well, I know I'm the head of my household, and just to make sure that my wife remembers that, when I'm doing my own thing, like watching TV or reading the paper, and she asks me to help with the kids or help with the dishes, I flip a coin in my head. And if it comes up tails, I help. And if it comes up heads, I don't. You flip a coin in your head. I don't know. I think all he's got is rocks in his head. I mean, that's outrageous. And this is the kind of thing that makes women read this, step back and say, I don't think I'm going to submit to my husband. Because you see how many different abuses there are of the husband's authority. There are people out there today who have been so battered and bruised and damaged by authority figures that whenever they hear the word authority, all they can think about is abuse. And that's life in a fallen world. And yet, here's the challenge to us today as Christians. The Bible says this is the way it is. This is the way it ought to be. And we have to be able to take all of that stuff and put it aside and say, okay, let's go for it. Let's do it. Why? Why must the husband make the decision to self-sacrifice, to show self-sacrificing love? It's so that his wife will grow in holiness and grow in godliness. That's why Jesus gave his life for you and for me, to make us holy. The scripture says here, see in verse 26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. To be holy means to be set apart, unique, different. It means that God is your one and only God. Christ, your one and only Lord. The church is his one and only bride, his one and only body. And husbands, that's how you got to love your wife. You got to love your wife so that she knows that she is your one and only. She is first in your affections. She's the queen of your heart. It says here, you have to be cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Jesus did this to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. We love our wives in a self-sacrificing way, not moment by moment, but once and for all, to make her holy, to help her be pure in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of people out there who think that religion is just brainwashing and who think that some of the ways that some husbands act out their religion is just brainwashing, what does the Bible say? The Bible's not saying brainwashing, it's saying Bible washing is what we have to be doing. We have to, husbands, be studying the Scriptures, reading the Scriptures, hearing the Scriptures, praying the Scriptures, meditating on the Scriptures, so that we can then take that Word of God and apply it, not in a self-serving way, but in a wife-serving way, to help our wives become more holy and pure. There's a picture here, right? You can almost picture it, of the prince going to rescue the princess and take her into safety, and they're going to get married, and she's a pure and spotless bride, and they all live happily ever after. Well, I want to tell you, this is no fairy tale, but there's an element to that in this. Because what Jesus does, what Christ has done for His church, is like that prince pursuing his princess. By the way, you did mention dad jokes, so I can't resist. What did Snow White say when her copier jammed? Someday my prince will come. Essentially, one of the ways that you can explain the story of the Bible in one sentence is kill the dragon, save the girl. That's what Jesus came to do, to kill the dragon, to save the girl. And that's what we as husbands have to be doing for our wives. Whatever sin, whatever temptation is in our hearts, whatever selfishness is there that would keep us from selflessly loving our wives, you got to kill the dragon in our own hearts. If we do it, we're going to save the girl. And we'll all live happily ever after. Husband, it says here, in the same way husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 28, he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Husband, caring for your wife should come as naturally as caring for yourself. We automatically do things for ourselves, don't we? All people do it. We get up, we eat, we do other things for our own hygiene, we get going. Doing those things that you naturally do for yourself, it should also be as natural for you to do those things for your wife. And not to remind her and say, hey, you got to give me some credit here. Just do it. Just do it. Do it not to be recognized, but to recognize her as the treasure that God has given you. Husbands, maybe you grew up, you know, wishing, hoping for a trophy wife. I want to give you some news. You do have a trophy wife. You do. You just need to treat her like the treasure she is. Your wife represents the church that Christ died to save, the church that He intends to make pure and spotless and blameless on the day He comes. The church is Christ's trophy. Your wife is your trophy. Treasure her. Cherish her, as the Scripture says. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it. That's how you treasure her. You do it by nourishing her, by caring for her physical needs. You do it by cherishing her, by caring for her spiritual needs, for making sure that not just on the outside, but on the inside, your wife is content. You might look at all this and go, well, yeah, is this just a creative writing exercise by Paul? No, he's not inventing this. He's explaining it. He's explaining the way it is. This is a mystery revealed. He says in verse 32, so let's back up to 31. For this reason, now he's quoting from Genesis 2, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, Paul says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Now, when Paul talks about a mystery in the New Testament, he's talking about something that in the Old Testament was a head-scratcher. It's like, what is the deal with this? You know, in the Old Testament, they had a sense that, yes, there were times in the Scriptures where it said that God is a husband and Israel is the wife, but they didn't get the whole picture until the New Testament, till you see it. What's the purpose of marriage? The number one purpose, to be a picture of Christ and His church. And so Paul is explaining this mystery, a mystery that is now revealed in Christ. And he's going back to Genesis and saying, now, by the way, Adam was formed first. We look at that. Adam was formed first. He was given a job, look after this garden. And then, since the job was too big for him, he was given a helper, a wife. Then everything was good and they could do it together. But when they fell into sin, even though Eve ate the fruit first, when God came looking for them, who'd he come calling first? Adam. Because Adam was put in the place of the highest authority, therefore he was most accountable. Some people think, oh, I'd love to be in charge. I'd love to have authority. Just know that those who have more authority are more accountable to God. It says so in the scriptures as well about pastors. We who teach will be judged more strictly. So be careful what you wish for. And so, we can see that they are not to be locked in a power struggle. But that's what happened when Adam and Eve fell into sin. When you go back to Genesis 3:16, and when you read Genesis 3:16, you're going to be glad that there's a John 3:16. I'll tell you that. In Genesis 3:16, the Lord says to the wife, "Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." That's where we get that quote from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Oh, the husband is the head, but the wife is the neck, and she can turn that neck wherever she wants. But you know what? The husband and wife are not to be locked in a power struggle. They are to be joined in loving self-sacrifice. Verse 33, "Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." There was a couple celebrating their 75th anniversary. 75 years. Can you imagine living 75 years? Imagine being married 75 years. And a reporter came and asked them, "Now, what's the secret to your marriage?" And a number of different questions. And then one of the questions was, "Did you ever think of divorce?" And without hesitation, they both said, "Divorce, no. Murder, yes." I don't know if this was a Christian couple, but somehow it was working for them, right? And it's amazing when you look at the world out there today. Sometimes you look at non-Christian marriages that are doing better than Christian marriages. You go, why does that work? Well, I'm not a family therapist, so I'm not going to get into that. But it works. Somehow there's love and there's respect and it's working. But if they don't know the Lord, it's only working for them. It's not working for God. You see, since we know this, we can go home and make our marriages work not just for ourselves, but for Him. And that ultimately is the reason why we need to embrace this passage. Understand as well, when it comes to the husband and the wife, they have equal value, they have an equal voice, they have an equal vote, but they're not equally accountable. The husband is primarily accountable for the spiritual condition of his home and for the condition of the marriage. Now, why is that? Because Christ has no equal. And that is, again, what God is trying to teach us through Christian marriage. Jesus is Lord. He's at the top. And marriage is a picture of that. And so the two are not equally accountable because Christ has no equal. Knowing that, what should the wife do? Verse 33 says she should respect her husband. She should hold him up, not drag him down. What should the husband do? He should love his wife. He should lift her up, don't put her down. Be a servant leader. Jesus came down to the lowest point, washed his disciples' feet, and then took the greatest shame of all upon himself the next day when he died that shameful death on the cross. Husbands, lift your wife up, put her on a pedestal, treat her as the trophy she is, don't put her down. So finally, you've been waiting for so long, all Christians, we step back from marriage and think, now what does this have to do with all of us? Well, it shows us that every one of us should be joyfully submitting to Jesus and faithfully following His leadership. We go back to verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, there are some preachers out there who are peddling a false gospel of personal fulfillment. Those preachers would never get to this passage. Those preachers would say, oh, no, no, no. They probably wouldn't get past Ephesians 1, verse 3, which says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Boom, they'd stop right there. Blessings! You know, and then they're thinking about money and cars and clothes and all the rest. But what does it say? Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You keep reading Ephesians and you'll find spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing that you can apply to your life if you have faith. And if you get far enough, you'll get to Ephesians 5:21 and you'll start to chew on this passage. And chewing it really good, you'll get it down and go, you know what, Lord? That was just the right meal for me. I needed that. This preacher wants you to know that the secret to finding fulfillment is to follow God's pattern for your life. Period. You know when people are demonstrating a stunt or something that's really dangerous, they'll say, now don't try this at home. I'm not going to say that to you today about this. Now, you might say, oh, I don't know if I can try this at home. It's too different from the world around me. It's too difficult, maybe even too dangerous. But do try this at home. Do try this at home, but only with God's help. Verse 23 says, now this is the way it is, period. Whether people recognize it or not, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. That's the way it is. And then verses 21 through 33 show us the way it ought to be. Do we have the faith? Do we have the courage to leave this place today and live according to God's pattern, to do things the way they ought to be? And to you out there today, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're happily married or unhappily married, whether you're unmarried by choice or by circumstance, this is what you need to do. You need to joyfully submit to Jesus and faithfully follow His loving leadership. Because there's one thing I know, that you need more of Jesus, and the church needs more of Jesus, and the world needs more of Jesus. Let's apply this to marriage so that the world will see Him in all His glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for the gift of Your Word. And I pray, Lord, for everybody who's listened to this message, maybe there are some who have already chewed it and swallowed it. Maybe there are others who are still working on it. But help us to keep on chewing as we go and keep on doing Your will, knowing that we can only do it through the strength that You provide by Your Spirit. Lord Jesus, help us to submit to Your loving leadership. And may that be reflected in our homes as we pray in Your name. Amen. Amen.